parts and resells them.
Sounds like quite the entrepreneur, Sal said.
Oh yeah, he knows games unlike anybody I've ever met. You ask him about any game out there, and he can tell you all about it. Kids come in here all the time and try to stump him.
Oh? Where is he?
He's the guy behind the counter over there with the blonde hair. You gonna try and stump him on a game?
Sal snorted. I was never that big on games, really. Well, other than the old card games.
Oh, like Neil Born?
People still play that?
Sal said, making conversation as he watched Chad from the corner of his eye. For a guy who played games, Sal noticed he seemed to be pretty fit.
Oh, sure. The kid turned towards the counter. Chad, do we have any copies of Neil Born?
Chad glanced up, looking at Sal.
English, French, or both?
Both,
Sal said impulsively.
One left. Let me go get it.
And with that, Chad walked into the back.
Thank you,
Sal said to the kid, and walked back towards the counter. Looking over his shoulder, he saw the kid leave the room. So, ducking behind the counter, Sal slipped into the back.
Sir, the back room is off limits to customers,
Chad said, turning to face him with a box in his hand. Sal stopped. Back here, away from everyone else, he could smell it clearly. Chad was a wolf. And from the way Chad's nostrils flared, it was obvious that Chad knew that Sal was a lichen as well.
I'm sorry, Sal said, lowering his voice. I didn't want to talk in front of the humans.
Talk about what?
Chad asked, eyes narrowing. I'm looking for your friend, Sean. There's been a lot of rumors going around that he's got something to sell. Something for people like us.
I have no idea what you're talking about,
Chad said, looking Sal right in the eye.
I haven't seen Sean since he started college. I've been way too busy with the shop and he's been too busy with school. Hell, he hasn't called me on the phone in over a year now.
Sal had seen some smooth liars in his time, and if Chad was lying to him, he was definitely up there with the best.
You sure? Sal asked.
The only thing I'm sure of right now is that if you don't turn around and get back on the other side of the counter, is that I'm going to pick you up and put you there.
Sal laughed. Oh, come on. I know you're a wolf and all that, but I'm still a lot.
Sal had put his hands up as Chad had taken two quick steps towards him, grabbed his hand and then started bending and moving it with incredible speed. And for all that he tried to struggle against it, the next thing Sal knew was that he was being frog-marched out of the back room, around the counter, and over to the front door. He tried several tricks that he'd learned over the years to try and free himself, but Chad changed his grip each time and applied a counter-move that not only stopped him cold, but actually hurt.
I don't know what your problem is with Sean or wolves, Chad whispered in his ear, but this is not the place for it. I got kids in here, you moron, and some of their parents are some pretty powerful folk. Now you get out and stay out.
And with that, Sal found himself being pushed out of a side fire door, which closed behind him with a very solid-sounding click. Shaking his arms and his sleeves to resettle his jacket, Sal thought about going back in there for a moment and having a few words with Chad about his treatment. But there were kids in there. And that was definitely off-limits. Also, he really wasn't being paid to get into fights with any of the local wolves. Still, though, how many of Sean's friends were wolves? For that matter, how many free wolves were there in Reno? Tony had told him last night that most of the wolves had their businesses outside of the city proper, as they didn't like running into mages. But there were a few who lived in town, and apparently even a small, unaligned pack was living somewhere downtown. Sal was starting to regret taking on the contract. If he wasn't careful, he'd have one or both of the big local packs on his heels after he dealt with Sean. He started to wonder if that was the real reason that Harkins had brought him in, so he could blame what happened on an outsider and not face the wrath of the locals. Things had definitely changed since he'd been here last. Getting into his car, he decided maybe it was time to go see the guy who was selling Sean's merchandise. Maybe that goblin would know. The great thing about goblins was that they all had a price, even if that price was not to kill them.
"We're here,"
Roxy said, as Daylin pulled the van into a spot that a car had just pulled out of. "Great," Sean said, and sliding the back door open, he stepped out into the sunlight as the others got out of the van.
"Pretty nice shop," Roxy said, looking at it. "He did this all on his own?"
"Yep."
"Where'd he get the money?"
Daylin asked.
"Counting cards. Chad's a wicked sharp gambler."
"I'm surprised he isn't on the poker circuit, then."
"Eh, he quoted Eastwood at me when I suggested that."
"Eastwood?"
Roxy asked. "A man's gotta know his limits," Sean chuckled.
"Come on, let's go inside."
Walking up to the door, Sean held it open and let the girls precede him inside, following Jolene, who he gave a pat on the butt to as she slinked by.
"Sean!"
Chad called from the back of the shop and waved him over.
"What? No hello for us?"
Roxy pouted as they headed towards the back. Sean couldn't help but notice all the teenagers giving the girls the eye, until they stepped through to the second room and out of sight.
"Sorry, girls. You didn't see a guy in black clothes with a black fedora on outside, did you?"
"No, why?"
Roxy said.
"I just threw him out of the shop. He was asking questions about Sean."
"Any idea who he was?" Sean asked.
"Was he a mage?"
Jolene asked. Chad shook his head.
"He was a lycan, but I haven't been one long enough to know what kind. Definitely not a wolf or a cat. Beyond that," Chad spread his hands, "no idea."
"What did he want?" Sean asked.
"He wanted to know where you were, and when I told him I hadn't seen you since you started college, he tried pressing me, saying that there were rumors going around that you had something to sell. He had followed me into the stockroom, and he wouldn't leave when I told him to go, so I got him in a come-along and marched him out of the store. I think he was a bit surprised by that. I don't think he figured I could do it."
"Oh, that reminds me," Sean said, and reaching into his pocket, he pulled out a tag and handed it to Chad.
"Is this what he was talking about?"
Chad asked, looking at the tag as he turned it over in his hands. Sean nodded.
"Probably. Just click it to your collar. It'll stay on then." "So, you making these things now?"
"Only in limited batches,"
Roxy grumbled.
Well, I can tell when a subject needs to be changed. So what brings you here?"
Sean lowered his voice. "We need to start planning our assault on those ascendant clowns."
"Well, I don't close up for another 2 hours. If you want, I can give you the keys to my place, and you can go wait for me there."
"What about Kathy?"
Chad sighed. "We broke up."
"What? How come?"
"She's not a wolf," Chad sighed. "I talked to Minnie and Silver to get their input, and they both agreed she'd probably freak if I told her that she was definitely not wolf material."
"Wow. Sorry to hear that," Chad shrugged.
"She also came home smelling of another guy. I mean, I'd heard a few rumors and had some suspicions and was trying to work through it, but with my heightened senses, yeah, it was obvious. I confronted her on it, and, well," Chad shrugged, "she left."
"Wow, now I feel even worse," Sean sighed. "How's your wolf doing?"
Chad brightened up then and smiled. "Actually, he's doing really well. We've been going out every night and running all over the West Hills. I've even started looking for a new place to rent up there."
"How's the training going?"
Chad snorted. "What's the train? Oak answered all of my questions in the car when he brought me home after biting me. The guys from the pack who've been coming down to teach me about being a wolf have started to get annoying lately. The last two ended up face down in the dirt while I gave them a little lecture about polite behavior."
Roxy snickered.
"You didn't."
Chad grinned, looking just a little embarrassed.
"Hey, what can I say? If you're gonna play dominance games with me, you're gonna lose."
"Every time," Sean snickered.
"Yup,"
Chad grinned.
"I mean, I understand that I'm the new guy and all, but still, I've got my limits."
"What's your wolf say?"
Roxy asked.
"My wolf wants me to go up there into the mountains and kick some major ass," Chad snorted. "After last night, I'm not so sure I disagree with him anymore."
"What happened last night?" Sean asked.
Oh, a couple of hours after teaching someone a lesson, some random wolf caught up with me while we were out running. Seems I disrespected his friend or something. Sean snorted. What did you do to him?
I was gentle. Honest,
Chad said with a large grin on his face.
I'm afraid to hear what gentle is when a werewolf is involved, Daylan snickered.
Well, I can tell you all about it later if you want to know, Chad laughed. Getting out his keys, he took one of the keys off the ring and handed it to Sean. I gotta get back to work. You may want to get some food. I think my fridge is empty. Sean took the key and nodded.
Later then.
He's going to be the new alpha, isn't he?
Jolene asked as they got back into the van outside.
As soon as he realizes he's in the running, Sean chuckled. I just think with the recent breakup, he's been a little distracted.
So, Daylan asked, In-N-Out or Wendy's?
Sal looked at the front of the shop as he parked his car. Sawyer's Antiquities was the faded painted sign on the heavy metal door. The windows were small and up high. The walls were gray concrete and abutted up against the other companies on either side. The place looked about as disreputable as he'd expected, being squirreled away in the back of an industrial park. Tony had told him all about Sawyer, the goblin that ran the place. He'd set up shop here in Reno a few years back after being run out of Vegas by the law down there. Details about that were kind of hazy, Tony had said, and a few phone calls that Sal made to some connected people down there hadn't provided any extra information. While he may have only been here 4 or 5 years, Sawyer was now reputed to be one of the best sources of information in Reno, as well as the best-paying fence for all things magical and stolen. Then there were the rumors about the lichen collars that were flooding the local market. Sal still hadn't seen any of them, but he'd heard the rumors all the way back in Chicago, and the biggest source of those collars was supposedly a fence in Reno by the name Sawyer. Getting out of his car, Sal walked over to the door. This was definitely his last lead. If he didn't get anything out of this, he was going to have to resort to the kind of methods that he preferred to avoid. Hopefully, he'd be able to pry something out of the goblin. He was selling the kid's collars, and he had to pay him. So there had to be some connection there. Walking in through the front door, the first thing Sal noticed was the massive guard sitting by the door. The second was that the guard wasn't human, but actually a werebore, a pretty tough-looking one to boot. Sawyer obviously took his security rather seriously. The shop itself looked like 100 other pawn shops that Sal had the pleasure or displeasure of visiting over the last 40 years. As he made his way slowly to the back, down one of the aisles between the typical stacks of overpriced merchandise on display, he saw a goblin sitting behind the high counter there.
"What do you want?" Sawyer asked.
"Are you Sawyer?"
Sal replied, looking him over carefully. Sal had met and done business with a lot of goblins over the years. His profession kind of dictated it. Sawyer was definitely on the taller end of the scale, and as goblins go, he wasn't all that ugly.
"My name's on the door, isn't it?"
"I'm looking for information."
"Ain't we all?"
Sawyer said.
"The answer is no."
Sal raised his eyebrows.
"I haven't even asked yet."
"I ain't stupid, whoever you are. There's only two reasons someone I've never seen before walks into my store these days. The first, I'm out of. The second, I don't know the answer to."
Sal pulled out a roll of bills and, peeling off 4 $100 bills, he set them on the counter.
"Humor me, then."
"I'm not a comedian, but I'll give it my best shot." "It's your money,"
Sawyer told him, but Sal noted that he didn't reach for the bills.
"What are you out of?"
"Lichen necklaces, which you, being a lichen, is without a doubt the only reason why you're here."
Sal looked at him, surprised.
"How did you know?"
"What? You think I don't know what walks into my shop? The word's out now that I had 'em. Everyone keeps showing up."
"When do you think you'll be getting more?"
Sal asked calmly. Sawyer shrugged.
"Don't know. They come in the mail, and, before you get any bright ideas, not to this address or by my mailman. So leave the poor guy alone. He's been scared enough already, and I'm tired of having to go down to the post office to pick up my mail.
And just how are you paying for them, then?
Why would I tell you that?
Sawyer laughed. Sal placed four more bills on top of the pile.
You want me to tell you my trade secrets for a measly $800?
Sawyer snorted.
Your bosses are cheap.
Grumbling, Sal held up his bankroll and waved it back and forth slightly. He noticed Sawyer's eyes got just a little larger.
Before you go laying that down, I'll tell you right now. I pay by a bank transfer to a numbered account, so I have no idea where the kid is.
Why didn't you tell me that in the first place? Sal growled.
Because I wanted to see if you were serious, and because this is my shop. Why are you looking for him anyway?
That's my business, Sal said. Think you can put me in touch?
Seeing as just about every mage's council, coven, and lycan fellowship has somebody watching this place and me so they can get their hands on the kid?
Sawyer snorted.
Hardly. With the number of collars that went on the market lately, everybody has a reason to want to talk with the kid. Hell, some of those people might even wish him well, just like you do. Right?
Sawyer finished looking Sal over slowly. What about the silver thing? Sal asked, figuring that as long as he was here, he might as well take a few shots. Sawyer's eyes narrowed.
What silver thing?
So you've heard about it?
I've heard the rumors, but then some of those rumors go way, way back. Back to before I moved here.
What if I told you they're not rumors?
Then maybe you and I could do a little business,
Sawyer replied cautiously.
How many you got? And how much do you want?
I ain't looking to sell, Sal growled. I'm looking to buy. And I got money. Lots of money. I need one for my job, and I ain't no choir boy.
No kidding,
Sawyer muttered in feigned disbelief. So how much, and when can I get one?
If there were any for sale, I suspect that they'd go to an auction. That is assuming, of course, that this thing you're talking about even exists.
All right, fine. So just where would I find this auction?
I don't know. Yet,
Sawyer told him. Sal pulled his bankroll out and peeled off 8 $100 bills. Finally, some progress. Sawyer looked at the bills and put a business card on the counter and slid it towards Sal and took the pile of money in return.
There's a website on there. You know what a website is, right?
Sawyer asked. Sal snarled at him. I'm not a mage. I keep up with the tech.
Good. Nice to know you're living in the present with the rest of us. Check the site. I've been told that's the place for lycans looking for certain things.
Sal picked up the card and giving it a quick glance to see that there was in fact a website printed on it, he stuck it in his pocket. This better not be a trick, Sal warned, more out of habit than anything else.
Hey, I'm a respectable businessman,
Sawyer protested.
Just ask my customers.
Sure you are, Sal grunted, and turning, he headed for the exit, and nodding to the guard by the door, he went outside and back to his car. He'd check the website and see what it had to say, and even enter a bid or two. After all, if these things really were for sale, he figured they'd be priceless once everyone realized that the guy making them wasn't going to be making any more.
Who was that guy, boss?
Marks asked, coming over to the counter after he'd seen the car drive off on one of the hidden monitors by his station.
High-priced hitman out of Chi-Town. Calls himself Hyena,
Sawyer grumbled.
Can't say I'm crazy about having the likes of him in my shop. I guess the rumors are really starting to spread out there if they're starting to attract the likes of him.
He is a hyena, boss.
Yeah, I sort of figured that one out myself, Mr. Brain Surgeon. Of course, a guy like him can probably afford a $500,000 for one of those tags, right? Too bad a certain someone won't let me raise the prices.
Marks looked back at the door.
Hitman, you say?
Yep.
Raise the price, boss. Like you said, he can afford it.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Damn, Chad said, walking into the house. What a day. First that guy in the shop, then some wolf I've never seen before wants to slug it out in the freaking parking lot. He even put a dent in the fender of my car. Now I'm gonna have to get Steve to fix it.
He put a dent in your car? Roxy asked, surprised. With what?
His face, Chad growled, which I introduced it to 5 times until he stopped struggling and gave up.
What the hell is wrong with these people?
They're looking for a new alpha, Sean said, and held up a bag of food.
Here, we save you 12 bacon double cheeseburgers.
Oh, man, you're a lifesaver,
Chad said, and tossing his work bag on the couch, he came over and sat down at the table.
I've been starving ever since Oak bit me.
Infected, Roxy corrected him. They call it infected.
Whatever,
Chad said, and started to scarf down a burger immediately. For a moment, Sean didn't think he was even going to take the wrapper off.
It's all the changes in your body, Sean told him. Notice you lost that spare tire you were getting? It settles down some after a couple of weeks.
Well, that's good to know. I was starting to wonder how these guys stay fed.
So, Sawyer sent us the plans for their compound, the lichen kennels, and their main estate house. I haven't called up my father-in-law.
Which one?
Chad snickered. Sean rolled his eyes.
Rox's dad. Day's an orphan, and Joe...
Sean looked at Jolene.
My father and I have issues, Jolene said. We don't talk. And before you ask, I don't talk with my mother or any of the rest of them.
What about your uncle? You seemed okay with him, Sean observed.
Jolene smiled a little bit.
Uncle Arthur's okay. We get along.
You're straying off the point here, Sean, Chad said.
Right, Sean grinned. I figure we'll work out a plan, and then I'll call up the one father-in-law that I can talk to, as well as Day's Uncle Samus, and we'll go over it with them, like we did last time.
Sounds good to me. Let me finish a few more of these.
The doorbell rang then.
Damn, not another one,
Chad growled, and getting up, he stalked over to the door.
What?
He asked, pulling it open.
I'm here to challenge you,
whoever was at the door said.
Fine, go around to the back. I really don't feel like putting a show on for the neighbors again.
You can't tell me what to do.
Oh, I can't?
Chad said with that tone of voice that Sean hadn't heard in years.
Someone is about to get an ass-whipping,
Sean whispered. As they watched, Chad reached out and yanked someone in through the open doorway. The guy looked fairly large. He definitely had a few inches on Chad, who spun him around, tripped him up, then simply pile-drived him into the tile floor. All of them winced at the sound of the guy's head hitting the ground.
At least I don't have to worry about crippling them,
Chad said with a savage grin. And then hauling the now dazed guy to his feet, he marched the guy to the back door, and, opening it with one hand while he held the guy up with the other, he then tossed him out into the backyard.
Don't go bleeding on anything important, Chad called out after him. This place is a rental.
He's going to want a rematch, you know,
Roxy said, as Chad came back over and sat down to eat another burger.
Well, he isn't getting one. Who the hell taught these guys how to fight? I mean, really, that was even more pathetic than the last one.
Sure enough, 2 minutes later, the guy was at the back door.
I demand a rematch. I wasn't ready.
And you'll never be ready, Chad said. Now go around front and direct anyone else who comes over to go in the backyard and tell them to wait until I finish my dinner.
Who do you think you are?
The guy who kicked your ass in 2 seconds. Now do as I say, and if you're lucky, I'll teach you how to actually fight,
Chad growled. Sean looked at the guy at the back door. He didn't look at all happy.
Dude, Sean chuckled. He gets testy when he's hungry. Really? Be happy that he didn't rip your arm off. Now go do as he says.
Muttering darkly, the guy stomped away from the door. They were going over the plan Sawyer had sent them a half hour later when someone knocked on the front door again.
Damn it, can't these guys take orders?
Chad grumbled, and getting up, he went over to the front door.
What part of go around back and wait your turn can't you understand?
Chad said.
I'm not some cub,
came the growled reply.
No, of course not, Chad said conversationally. A cub would have a little respect when he showed up at someone else's home and would understand that maybe he doesn't want to be made a fool out of in the middle of my front lawn where the entire world can watch.
Sean and the girls heard a growled,
I'll make you pay for your disrespect.
And the rest of you? Backyard too.
Shutting the door, Chad sighed.
This shit isn't going away, is it?
Nope, Sean grinned.
And just why the hell are you grinning? Are you behind this?
Nope.
Well, other than making you a wolf, I'm not.
Oak made me a wolf.
Because I told him to, Sean pointed out.
Chad nodded.
Point, he said, looking thoughtful for a moment. Didn't you say that they were looking for a new alpha earlier?
Yep.
What happened to the old one?
I fired him.
Chad snorted.
You fired him? How the hell does that work?
Sorry, that's between me and whoever takes his place, Sean grinned.
Ass, Chad said, grinning back.
You're loving every minute of this crap. Admit it.
Hey, Sean said, spreading his hands. You're the one who wanted to become a wolf. I'm just sitting here and watching the natural consequences of your becoming one unfold.
Right, Chad chuckled and shook his head.
Well, now that I know what game I'm playing, it's time to go outside and cheat outrageously.
Turning, Chad went out the back door. It was getting dark out, but fortunately, that didn't really matter to any of them. Sean and the gals all got up and went over to the door to watch.
Okay, just which one of you fine gentlemen is the biggest and the baddest here?
One of them stepped forward.
Ah, fine, we have a volunteer. Sean, on three?
1, 2, 3.
Sean said immediately, and Chad just threw himself at the guy. Sean wasn't really that experienced at judo. Oh, sure, Chad had shown him the basics. Chad had shown all of his friends that much, because Chad loved showing everyone just how good he was at it. Not that Sean could blame him. Chad's mom had been dumping Chad and his brother off at the dojo a couple times a week since he was like 7, so she could have some peace and quiet. Still, Sean was impressed. This guy seemed to have a little understanding of just what was going on, and actually managed to last a good 20 seconds before Chad had him tied up, his arm bent back and twisted in a way that was obviously very painful, while Chad stood over the guy, who was now on the ground on his back, with Chad's foot on the guy's neck.
So yield, Chad said with a smile, or do I rip your arm off and beat you to death with it?
I yield,
came a very pained reply. Smiling, Chad released the grip and helped the man up.
So, Chad asked, looking around, just who is in charge of the pack right now?
Ryan,
several of them said.
Ah, wasn't he Michael's second?
They all nodded.
Fine. Would one of you be so kind as to call him on your cell phone for me and tell him to get his ass down here?
Chad's voice dropped then, and he growled,
Now! I've had enough of this crap! I'm taking over.
But you haven't even been a wolf for a week yet,
one of them said.
Yes, so just imagine how much nastier I'll be by then,
Chad said cheerily.
Send him inside when he gets here.
Come on, Sean. Let's get back to planning that attack.
Sean noticed several of the wolves' eyes get wide.
Attack?
One of them said.
If you're nice, I might even let you join me.
Chad threw back over his shoulder as Sean followed him inside.
I love it when a plan comes together, Sean chuckled.
And just how many years have you been waiting to use that line on me?
Chad snickered.
Too many.
20 minutes later, Ryan showed up, out of breath and not looking exactly happy to be there.
What's so important that I had to get here immediately?
Ryan asked, looking at Sean rather annoyed.
Sean pointed to Chad. Ah, Ryan, Chad said, standing up. I'm taking over.
What?
I'm the new alpha of the Western Packs. Sean told me you were looking for someone to take the position, and guess what? I'm just pissed off enough from all the people coming by my house over the last few days to play dominance games that I've decided to help you out.
Ryan looked at Chad, who was smiling and looking very polite and congenial, in a most disconcerting way. He then looked at Sean.
Don't look at me, Sean said, grinning. This is a wolf thing, not a lion thing.
You can't just say you're taking over, Ryan protested, looking at Chad.
I just did,
Chad pointed out in his most helpful voice. Now, if you like, I can take you out into the backyard and kick your ass around it a few times, or you could just bow to the inevitable and save time. Ryan took a step back, blinking.
He does that to people,
Sean said to Roxy, Dalen, and Jolene, who were all watching with interest.
What do I tell the others?
Ah, yes, the others. You call up all the important folks in the pack, and you tell them to get their asses down here, now, tonight, so they can meet their new alpha.
This way, if any of them has a problem, I can beat it out of them now, and we can all just move on as one big happy family.
But I can't do that.
Sean noticed that Ryan had that deer-in-the-headlights look that people got when Chad started to steamroll them.
Ryan?
Chad lowered his voice.
Yes? That wasn't a request. That was an order. You're my second. You follow my orders. Got that?
Yes, Chad.
I'll go call them. Now.
And Ryan walked quickly out of the room, obviously wanting to be somewhere else right now. Chad looked around the room and sighed.
You guys can stay the night if you want. I don't think we're going to be getting much more planning done. Not if I'm going to be cracking the whip all night.
Oh, this is going to be interesting,
Roxy chuckled.
Mind if we watch?
Chad motioned towards the couch.
Be my guests.
Chad paused and pondered a moment.
Maybe I should send some of those guys in the backyard out to get more food. Wouldn't want to be a bad host, would I?
Sean and the girls got comfortable on the couch and watched as Chad corralled a couple of the wolves out back, gave them a shopping list and some cash, and sent them off to get some snacks and drinks. 15 minutes later, people started to show up.
Wow, Jolene whispered. It's like one of those old mafia crime movies where everyone shows up to kiss the ring of the new dawn.
Roxy snorted.
Yeah, wolves are like that. But when you consider the size of some of the packs, they have to be.
Just how big is the Western pack?
Roxy shrugged. 2,000, easy. Over half the lichens around Reno are wolves, and the Western pack and the Eastern pack control nearly everyone that isn't a slave to the mages.
Oops, looks like someone isn't getting along,
Dalen said. They all watched as Chad literally dragged one of the people out the back door. 5 minutes later, Chad brought them back inside, with his arm around them, talking to them quietly as they just nodded and said, yes, while looking very dazed with a fair bit of grass stains and dirt rubbed across their face.
Well, I think we know who won that matchup,
Roxy snickered.
They all look kind of shell-shocked,
Sean agreed, as Chad let go of the now very subdued-looking man and went to shake hands and greet the ones that had shown up while he was outside having a discussion.
That's 'cause their last alpha wasn't really a very strong one,
Roxy whispered back, so only they would hear it.
Chad's going through them like the proverbial shit through a goose, and all of their inner wolves are in shock as they finally see what a real alpha looks like.
Is that why you pushed him out? Sean asked his lion.
Michael didn't understand that he is about the pack, that the pack is not about him. He was ignoring his wolf, becoming all too human, like I told you.
Chad can be pretty self-centered, you know,
Sean warned.
So can I, his lion chuckled. But I've seen enough of him to know that he will value those under him and not just take them as his due.
And here I thought it was just because he was dissing us.
Well, yeah, that too,
his lion sent with a snicker. Sean started awake when he heard Chad calling his name.
Hmm? What?
He asked, untangling himself from the girls who'd all fallen asleep on the couch as well.
It's after midnight. Why don't you all go hit the guest room? Ryan tells me there's still a few people coming I need to see.
Sean nodded, and shaking the girls awake, he stood up and yawned.
Any problems, then?
Sean asked.
Oh, lots, Chad sighed. But while I didn't cause them, I guess I own them now.
I'll deal with it.
Sean watched as Chad looked around at the wolves in the room. There were still quite a few there.
Such as?
Oh, it's a wolf thing. You wouldn't understand, Chad said with a wink. Ass, Sean chuckled, and gathering up the girls, they all went off to bed. See a man about a dog. What time did you get to bed? Sean asked Chad, as he met with him in the kitchen. Dalen was already up, making breakfast. He'd left Roxy and Jolene in the shower.
I didn't, Chad said, looking at his watch. And I need to get going here pretty quickly to open up the shop.
So much for making plans, Sean grumbled.
Don't worry. I'll work on them while I'm there. I got most of the basics from you already anyway. We can get together tonight and go over everything.
Sean nodded. So, how'd it go last night?
Good, it went good. Organizationally, they're a mess. Rules-wise, a lot of people have been sliding on a number of things. The biggest complaint I got last night was a lack of discipline. Michael wasn't much for backing up his lieutenants or even his captains all that much. I had a long talk with Claudia last night. I told her it was for the sake of uniformity, but really I just wanted a sense of what worked.
How'd she react to being woken up in the middle of the night? Chad snorted.
She was waiting for my call. I think she knew about my power play before most of the pack did.
So, she's got spies in your organization?
Power abhors a vacuum. You know that, Chad smirked. I bet if I hadn't moved when I did, she probably would have moved to roll us all up into her group by the weekend.
What are you going to do about it?
We're having lunch, Chad grinned, at my shop.
Brutal, Sean laughed.
Hey, I'm going to order a couple of 6-foot subs from the sub shop down the street. Chad grinned even wider. And a whole case of soda.
I don't know her well enough to know what she'll think of that, Sean admitted.
Oh, I'm sure she'll get the point. This is a casual business meeting. We're supposed to be allies, so I'm making it clear I'm cutting right past all the political dancing and getting down to brass tacks. The Western packs are a mess, and she knows it.
By the by, how many of those tags do you have now?
218 tags, 150 collars.
Don't forget we promised the fellowship 100,
Dalen said as she came over and put 2 plates of food on the table, one for Sean and one for herself.
I'll take 60 tags and 50 collars, Chad said.
Sean looked at him. You know I'm not just giving those away, right?
Uh-huh,
Chad grinned. And I also know I'm doing you a huge favor by taking over the Western Pack, which you are going to be notorious for asking favors from.
Notorious?
Sean asked, raising an eyebrow as he started to eat.
Well, yeah, of course. I'm one of your best friends, after all, a point which I'll make clear when I give Claudia 10 tags.
Chad made a little dismissal gesture with his right hand.
For free. Think nothing of it, Claudia. Me and Sean go way back.
Sean choked on his eggs for a moment.
Damn, that's cruel.
Yep, Chad nodded. And if you got it, flaunt it.
Besides, not only will it nail down my position as the Alpha, but it'll make it clear that when you ask me for favors, that I'm not doing it for money or power, but because you're my friend.
And that'll work?
Hell yeah, it'll work,
Roxy said, walking into the kitchen wearing 2 towels and nothing else.
You're a lion, hon. In fact, right now you're the lion. I'm surprised my dad hasn't asked you to take over running the fellowship already. You already made it clear that no one gets to challenge you when you tossed Michael out.
Sean took a minute to appreciate the view. She had 1 towel wrapped around her hips in that way that he could never get to stay on, and the other hanging around her neck so the ends came down over her chest to just barely keep her decent.
Yeah, I've been meaning to ask you about that.
Chad said as Roxy sat down on Sean's lap and started to eat his breakfast after giving him a kiss.
What exactly is the deal with lions? I've picked up on the way they treat you and refer to you.
Enough to take advantage of it, I've noticed, Sean chuckled and went back to eating before Roxy cleaned his plate on him.
Well, of course, gotta press those advantages.
Well, Sean said, leaning back in his seat and letting Roxy eat his breakfast.
Lions were the first of the werefolk. They're the oldest of the old. They even predate a few of the fairies and other supernatural folk. Legend is that they were there at the beginning.
The beginning of what? Everything, Sean said soberly. We're the lawgivers, the final arbiters, and supposedly we can do all sorts of mystical crap.
Is that why you wouldn't bite me? Chad asked, curious.
Most people bit by lions die, Chad, Sean said with a sigh. Samson knew, when he bit me, that there was a chance that he was killing me.
Oh, no. He knew you'd be fine. We'd been trying to get him to bite you for years.
Thanks, and Chad doesn't need to know that.
Why?
Mystical shit, Sean grinned.
Chad rolled his eyes. I need to go. Can I have those tags?
Sean nodded, and getting up, he let Roxy have his seat and went to the guest room to get the tags and the collars. After Chad had left, he returned to the kitchen. Roxy had lost the top towel and was cooking now, as Jolene, who was also topless, sat at the table.
Sean, dear, Jolene started off. I've been thinking.
Uh-oh, Sean grinned. She used Sean and dear. I'm in trouble now, aren't I?
Roxy and Dalen snickered as Jolene just gave him a long-suffering look and sighed.
I was thinking about what Sawyer said last night, and well, this morning I made a few phone calls to some old friends.
Said about what?
About what Sapientia is doing.
They're not doing anything, Sean said, going over to look over Roxy's shoulder and see if any of the food was ready yet.
Exactly. They're not doing anything. Why do you think that is?
They expect Sean to lose?
Dalen piped up. Jolene shook her head.
My uncle isn't that stupid.
So they expect him to win?
Then why aren't they preparing like the others?
Sean looked back at Jolene, suddenly getting an idea.
Because you cannot lose if you throw the race?
Jolene nodded.
I think he's already decided to give up.
Why would he do that?
That's a good question, isn't it?
Jolene agreed.
Why don't we go ask him?
Sean thought about that a moment. Sapientia was the oldest of all the councils. They'd been first, after all, and a lot of the laws that govern the magical community had been created by them. Winning them over without violence would go a long way to establishing the legitimacy of what he was trying to do. Sean's stomach growled then.
After breakfast, he smiled.
After breakfast.
Arthur Troy was sitting at the desk in his office, going over the numbers that his accountants had provided him, along with the estimates of what they thought maintaining a small army of lichens was costing them.
Damned if Joseph didn't have a point, he mumbled.
Sir?
Franks, the replacement for Charles, asked, from where he was sitting across the room.
Just going over the estimates from our accountants.
It would seem that the good Mr. Harrison had a valid point. I had no idea that our costs over the last two decades had climbed this much. Makes me wonder where else we're losing money.
Is keeping lichens really that expensive, sir?
It's not all that expensive, but there are a great many costs associated with it that I really hadn't considered. As I understand it, in the old days, if you wanted lichen servants, you pretty much had to breed your own. But now...
Arthur snorted. If Mr. Harrison's numbers are correct, and I have learned to respect his research, there are a lot more of them than there are of us. While we may be paying less than what passes for a minimum wage nowadays, we're paying that for a lot of them, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Then why do we still have them, sir?
Arthur shook his head and sighed.
That's the problem, isn't it? We have them because the others all have them, but we haven't launched an attack on another council in over 70 years now. We should have, at the very least, cut back by half. The old days of the council wars are in the past. I fear we have become too set in our ways.
Still, boss, James spoke up from where he was doing something on his computer. Web searches is what Arthur presumed. Vestibulum maintains a fairly large army, along with the Council of Ascendants.
Yes, Arthur said with a nod. But if the enterprising Mr. Valens has his way, that isn't going to last.
He really is only one man, boss.
So was Norman Borlaug, Arthur chuckled.
Who?
Look it up.
Arthur waved at James's computer.
Also, Sean is a lion, and if you haven't noticed, the other Lycans all seem to hold lions in a certain amount of reverence.
But that's just 'cause they're rare, boss.
Yes, and in a world where everything else is plentiful, that which is rare should always raise one's suspicions.
Arthur looked up as his secretary knocked on the doorframe.
Arthur?
Yes, Danielle?
A messenger just left this for you.
And she held up an envelope. Who is it from?
Your niece, Jolene.
Well, well, by all means, let's see it,
Arthur said, and held out his hand as she walked across his office to hand it to him. Opening the envelope, Arthur looked over the short message. It was an invitation for him to join her and Sean for lunch, at 1.
Interesting. Looks like we've been invited to lunch. James, have Dean bring the car around.
Think it's a trap, boss?
Mr. Valens does not strike me as the kind of man who would spring a trap over lunch, especially not in a casino with lots of cameras and witnesses.
No, I've been waiting for this.
I suspect that the young Mr. Valens is seeking to negotiate.
Why would he want to do that, boss?
Because why fight for what you can get for free? Come, let's go see what he has to say.
And standing up, Arthur grabbed his suit jacket and headed for the door. When Arthur arrived at the restaurant, the server immediately led him and the two men he'd brought with him over to a table in the back.
Uncle Troy,
Jolene said, and standing up, she gave him a hug.
Uncle, this is my husband, Sean Valens. Sean, this is my uncle, Arthur Troy.
Sean had stood when Jolene did and shook hands with Arthur. Then they all sat down.
Husband? Arthur asked her. Really? How did that happen?
Unexpectedly,
Jolene said with a smile.
But on the bright side, you can warn all of the women in the covens that they don't have to worry about me trying to steal their men anymore.
Well, as long as you're happy with it, Joe.
Very, actually.
Speaking of wives, where are the other two?
Sean spoke up. Making sure that we're not disturbed. I wanted this to be a private meeting.
You were expecting trouble?
Arthur asked, surprised. Harkins knows he's next on my list, Sean shrugged. I'm sure Vestibulum would still like to get their hands on me, for all that I've been leaving them alone. Then there are all those Lycans from out of town who want one of these.
Sean tossed one of the tags on the table. What's that?
Arthur asked, looking at the grayish-looking dog tag piece of metal sitting on the table.
The reason why your guard's silver bullets won't affect me.
Hmm, Arthur said, and picked up the piece of metal, examining it. There was quite a bit of enchanting on it. What it did, however, he couldn't tell.
So, the rumors are true then? You finished your father's work?
Sean chuckled.
Actually, I'm just starting my father's work. As for the enchantments on that tag, my father finished it before he was murdered.
Arthur set the tag down.
I'm sorry about that. It was from before my time leading the council. I don't know who paid for that. I only know that it wasn't Sapientia.
I heard it was a man named Hyena, or Voiceman. Arthur gave a small shrug.
I have no idea who it was. Only the council heads and their right-hand man from back then know who it was. But I have my suspicions. However, they are only that, suspicions. Now, to business. Why have you asked to meet with me?
I want you to release all of your Lycans from bondage, of course.
Sean smiled. Or?
Arthur asked. Oh, I don't think we're at the point of threats yet. I was hoping to keep this a friendly conversation.
I seem to recall our last conversation ended with a threat, as well as you pointing a rather large gun at me, Arthur said with a smile.
Well, in all fairness, you had just cast 2 spells on me, in succession.
Arthur sighed. Yes, I was trying to show off, and it bit me but good. But still, what motivation do you offer for me to free my Lycans?
Other than pointing to that tag and what it means? Nobody wants a war, least of all those of us who are going to be fighting it.
Yes, but those tags are obviously a complex piece of enchanting. I could tell that much just by holding it. It takes what, 6 months, more, to make one? So for you to make enough for me to worry about, Arthur shrugged. It's not just me you need to convince, Sean. It's the rest of my council, and the other Sapientia councils.
Sean leaned back in his seat. You know, that wasn't an argument I was expecting. But maybe this will convince you.
Picking up his backpack from the floor, Sean unzipped it and pulled out the bag he'd been keeping the tags in. Setting the pack back down on the floor, he poured the contents of the bag out on the table. Arthur's eyes widened in surprise as a huge pile of tags flowed out of the bag.
Go ahead, Sean smiled. Pick one up.
Arthur reached over and grabbed one. It was definitely enchanted. Dropping it, he picked up another at random. It too was enchanted.
I must say, I'm impressed. How long did these take you to make?
Not very, Sean smiled.
Arthur looked at his niece.
Jolene?
His father was a magical genius, Arthur, and his father would be proud of him. He made them. I saw it. We've already given away hundreds.
Hundreds? Arthur asked with a raised eyebrow.
Soon it will be thousands, Sean told him.
Arthur nodded slowly and pondered the situation. He didn't think Sean was bluffing, and he didn't believe that his niece was lying.
I have to ask, Arthur said, indulging his curiosity. What's in it for you?
Other than freeing the Lycan races from slavery?
Yes, that. I know you weren't born a Lycan. 2 months ago, you were as human as I was. Yet you have engaged on what is best described as a crusade, even though you are a young man who has only just now learned the truth of the world.
Because I'm a lion, Sean told him.
I don't understand, Arthur admitted. And that's what bothers me. I like to understand things. I like to know why I'm doing something, and why others do what they do. Just what does being a lion have to do with your crusade?
I got this, Sean's lion said.
So Sean let him speak.
Because we are the rulers of the Lycan races. We created them. We watch over them. For many centuries, the association was beneficial for us. However, over time, many warped it and turned what had been voluntary into coerced. Others then took that power and abused it. Bernard Valens, my sire, was a gifted man who was presented with a problem by a friend that he solved for us. I am now here to take the solution to that problem and implement it.
Arthur noticed that Sean's voice and mannerism had changed slightly while answering his question.
You make it sound like you were there, Arthur pointed out.
Lions have long memories, Sean said, taking back over. You might even say we have racial memories.
Arthur nodded slowly. That would be most curious indeed. You really should go consult with Joseph about that.
Well, you've answered my question. I guess I should be honest with you as well.
Arthur smiled.
Joseph Harrison from the Council of Eruditio had actually presented a very strong case based on money, of all things, for us to change our ways. He made a very good point, you know, so we've been taking it under consideration. However, there is one concession that I want, that Sapientia wants, if we free our Lycans. If we do as Eruditio does and hire them to work for us, the same as we would hire anyone.
I'm not so sure I can guarantee any agreements, Sean said.
Lions are the lawgivers, the rulers, you said so yourself. For centuries we have used our Lycans first to protect us from those who sought to enslave mages, then in our fights against each other. If we give up our armies, we will put ourselves in a position of weakness until the time comes that all of the Lycan armies of the many councils have been disbanded.
So what are you asking for? To be last? Sean sighed. That wasn't going to happen if he could help it. Actually, I was thinking more of a defensive agreement. If we should be attacked by one of the other councils using their lichens, that you'd come to our defense. You're worried about the Vesties, aren't you? Arthur gave a little side nod with his head. They came to us looking for an alliance against you. I put them off, as I don't care much for their philosophy. Honestly, I think we at the Council of Sapientia have become a little hidebound ourselves, something I'm now trying to remedy. Turbulent times are ahead for us all. I must do what I can to protect my own, just as you do for yours.
Can I agree to this?
Yes, as long as it is understood that it will only be against enslaved lichen attackers.
As long as you understand that it will only be against enslaved lichen attackers, Sean said, repeating his lion's words, then yes, I will tell them to do it.
Then I do believe we have a deal, Arthur said, sticking out his hand.
Sean reached across and shook it.
I need to go and talk to the other members of the council, but I suspect we'll start freeing them tomorrow.
I'll send over some of my people tomorrow, then. We'll remove their silver pellets and give them a place to stay.
What if they don't want to leave?
Then they can stay. But we're still going to talk to all of them and remove any and all restraints.
Fair enough, Arthur said and stood up.
Oh, Joe, he said, looking at his niece.
Yes, Arthur?
He winked at her.
Good catch. I honestly think your mother will be proud.
Jolene sighed. Really? She said sarcastically.
Once I explain it to her.
Arthur turned to his bodyguards.
Let's go, boys. I've got a meeting to call.
What next?
Jolene asked Sean after her uncle had left the restaurant.
Let's go home and check in with Oak. I want to see if my workshop is done yet. We can catch up with Chad later tonight.
Back home. Sean looked around his workshop in the basement. It was clean and well laid out, pretty much a duplicate of the workshop over at the Guild, as that was the only one he'd had to go by when going over the design with Dalen's cousin. It only took up a quarter of the basement, and the tunnel that Steve had suggested them building to his place had in fact been built, its entrance not far from the entrance to Sean's workshop. Steve had actually hired on several of the pack to function as watchmen and security for his place, and they used the tunnel regularly now. This was yet another business Sean had to do the paperwork on and do all of the other stuff for. He really needed to find some sort of office assistant to help him with that. Unfortunately, none of the wolves in the pack knew anything about bookkeeping. Getting down to work, it took Sean an hour to set everything up the way he wanted it, putting all of the stuff that he'd need for his work away. That done, he set up the golden plate and prepped that for more enchanting work, getting his notes out and tacking them to the board behind the table he was working at. Then he spent some time examining the plate to make sure that his enchantments hadn't unraveled in the 3 days that had passed since he'd last looked at it. Thankfully, the spell he'd put on it to hold things in place was still holding, but he wasn't sure how much longer it would last. He'd have to renew it soon if he didn't want to lose his first day's work. Checking his watch, he had a few hours of free time yet before they were going to head over to Chad's house and discuss the attack on the Ascendants. So, getting out a few things to make it easier, he started on renewing the locking spell. Peggy came in while he was working, but she just took a seat and watched, not interrupting him as he worked. "Hi, Peg," Sean said when he finished, turning towards her. "Do you need something?" Peg shook her head.
"I just was curious as to what you were doing down here. I really didn't know you were an enchanter until Oak passed out those silver shields to everyone."
"Where did you think the collar you got came from?" Sean asked her, as he started to put his things away. Peg blushed.
"I'm sorry. I was still too wrapped up in my own problems when Sheila gave it to me to notice. What's the plate supposed to do?"
"It's going to make it easier for me to make those tags, and probably some other things as well."
You made a bunch of those shields in a couple of days, and you're telling me there's an even easier way?
Peg looked at him in surprise.
Easier on me, Sean chuckled. Eventually, I just want to build a machine to churn them out